The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.
From the WLRN Newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett. Last summer, ProPublica obtained this recording of Central American children crying at an immigration detention center in Texas. They'd been separated from their parents who'd come seeking asylum. At the same place the summer before, in 2017, a Guatemalan girl named Ana was taken from her father. She was three. Ana was sent to her relative in Immokalee, Florida, who took her to immigration lawyer Jennifer Ansardo Valdez in Miami.
Ana actually is from an indigenous region of Guatemala, so she didn't even speak Spanish. The only thing she was able to communicate to us was her age by using her fingers.
Ansardo Valdez heads the children's legal program at the nonprofit Americans for Immigrant Justice, or AI Justice. She could get a Maya language translator for Ana, but she couldn't change the fact that Ana was barely out of diapers, which made Ana's first hearing in immigration court a challenge.
She started playing peekaboo with us through the bench. Then when she was called up for her hearing, one of our attorneys had to lift her up and sit her on the chair so that she was able to look at the judge.
But as time wore on, Ansardo Valdez could see the separation trauma showing on Ana's face.
Where's my mom? Where's my dad? We couldn't answer anything, right? We had no idea where the parents were.
At first, Ansardo Valdez got no information from U.S. officials. She eventually found out Ana's father had been deported back to Guatemala, and that Ana's mother had died in Guatemala after Ana and her dad left for the U.S. More and more Central American toddlers started arriving at AI Justice's doors.
We were alarmed, trying to find out why were they being separated.
What the attorneys didn't know then was that the Trump administration's campaign to separate immigrant families at the border was still a covert pilot program and not yet a formal policy. By the time it became official last year, children were pouring into migrant youth shelters, including three in South Florida, the largest in Homestead.
We started seeing younger and younger children, and children who were clearly traumatized because of the family separation.
Cheryl Little is director of AI Justice. She says her lawyers now had to think like child psychologists.
Staff had to create a coloring book, and the child would color in their answer. We had to create a different way to learn their stories.
This week, AI Justice is releasing one of the first comprehensive reports on the effects of the family separation policy. It's titled Family Separation: Broken Systems, Broken Families. President Trump canceled the policy last summer amid public outcry, but his administration concedes it is still trying to locate many of the thousands of migrant children it separated from parents. And the AI Justice study examines the potentially lasting emotional scars left on kids like Ana.
We represented at least 120 children, and we were able to help reunify 100 of them. We still see a number of these children, and I can tell you, that trauma is ongoing.
It is for Roger, a little boy from Honduras who was separated from his father, Eric Castro, after they arrived in California in the fall of 2017. They now live with Roger's mother, Vanessa, in a small one-bedroom apartment in Miami. AI Justice's Family Defense Program is handling their asylum petition. The family's story echoes why so many Central Americans today come to the U.S. for asylum.
Yo no salí del ancho, yo me escapé del ancho. Yo me escapé de Honduras.
Eric had a construction business and Vanessa was a pharmacist in Olancho. That's a part of Honduras all but ruled by criminal gangs. Eric says a gangster had brutally murdered Eric's cousin and aunt because they refused to pay his extortion racket. Then he came for Eric. I was building a new house for my family, Eric says, when he walks up and says, "That's a pretty place. Now you're going to sign it over to me." He gave Eric and 3-year-old Roger, who was also there, 2 hours to obey. Eric felt sure the gangster would end up killing him and Roger either way. In Honduras, says Eric, if a gangbanger says you've got 2 hours to live, it means you've got 2 minutes. Eric put Roger on his motorcycle and they sped to the capital, Tegucigalpa. Within days, they were in Mexico on their way to the U.S. border. Vanessa would join them later. We spent almost a month begging for rides and food and places to sleep, Eric recalls. So when they arrived at the San Diego crossing and presented themselves to U.S. border officials.
Aquí está mi salvación, pero no sabía que lo peor me esperaba aquí.
Here's my salvation, Eric thought, but I didn't know the worst was yet to come. Days later, agents from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, came to their detention center to take Roger. Eric clung tightly to his son, but he says the agents threatened him with a taser gun and pepper spray. As Roger sits beside him now, Eric recalls the boy's cries as he left him.
Papi! Papi! No me dejes, papi!
An ICE spokesperson says the agency cannot comment on cases that involve pending asylum requests. The Trump administration has argued such separations complied with a 1997 court order to keep children out of detention centers with adults. Roger was sent to a child migrant shelter in Texas, but no one told Eric that. Frantic, he called his wife Vanessa in Honduras.
I wanted to die. How could you lose our boy?
Now Vanessa set out for the U.S. border. Early last year, she located Roger with a foster family in Texas. But she and Eric still had to battle to get Roger back. Children had to be cleared by an immigration court before being reunited with parents. It took time. Cheryl Little from AI Justice in Miami says her organization and others fought successfully to get that rule struck down.
This is crazy stuff. The extent to which we subjected these children and their families to needless suffering.
Eventually, Eric, Vanessa, and Roger were reunited in Miami, where Vanessa had relatives. But Vanessa says her son, now 4, is still haunted.
El niño ya no confía en su papá.
He still doesn't trust his dad. He thinks he abandoned him, so he won't go anywhere alone with him. I have to come along.
Teenagers like Freddie were also affected by the family separation policy. Freddie asked us not to use his last name since his asylum case is still pending. He was 15 when thugs in Guatemala threatened to kill him and his father if they didn't join their drug gang. So Freddie and his indigenous family crossed into Texas last summer. He ended up in the youth immigrant shelter here in Homestead for almost 2 months. For weeks, I couldn't sleep at night not knowing anything about my family, says Freddie. He lives in Lake Worth with his father now. No one could tell me what was happening or when this would end. One recommendation in the AI Justice report is to provide free attorneys to children in immigration cases. There are bills in Congress right now that would give those kids a lawyer. I'm Tim Padgett in Miami. You can read the AI Justice Report at WLRN.org.
The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.